Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
I try to tell them little things like, you know, first of all, you know, they shouldn't leave their sleeping bag behind. And, you know, they should take, you know, little food or, you know, whatever they think the people might like.
Welcome to Chinook. I'm Deborah Niedermeyer. On our last program, Velma Schaefer gave us tips about what to bring and how to prepare for a trip to a bush village. This week we'll hear more on Athabaskan etiquette, differences of custom and style outsiders need to be aware of. One faux pas non-natives are likely to make is talking too loudly.
We talk quiet compared to other people. So like if we're sitting around a table and this person starts getting, you know, louder and louder, pretty soon everybody will just get quiet and, you know, just start sitting there listening. And or if he's raise his voice when he commands somebody to do something, it right away just stops everybody from what they're doing or what they're saying. And they just, you know, sit there. It's like if he's telling them what to do. And there's different levels of, like, voices and, you know, how we use ours and how other people use theirs.
When a person comes to the village, how do you figure out where that person will stay?
If it's the health aid people, you know, they'll stay at the clinic. Or if anyone from town that sees, you know, they usually stay at the clinic or with people they know. If they don't know anybody, you know, if they're coming in and, you know, they could contact somebody in town they know from that village, you know, from whatever village they're going to. And you talk with that person before. You know, that person might be their contact person mm-hmm. to that village. You know, it all depends on how this person, you know, approaches this person. Sometimes, you know, if you just, like, come and say, you know, you got to find me a place to stay. I got to do this. I got to do that. You just get really pushy about it. Then you just turn the other person off. So, you know, it's, you know, really hard to talk about and, you know, really hard to deal with. It's just knowing people, you know, that's how, you know, people get around.
What about the construction workers? How are things arranged for them?
Theirs, I think, is, you know, like arranged way ahead of time, you know, like early April or maybe even March. And they usually stay, like if they're working for the airport, you know, they usually set up like a building for themselves and they stay there. And if it's for the school, they usually just stay right at the school. When they land, they just know right exactly where to go.
A construction crew can be a lot of people for a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different? Does it make any problems? Is it fun?
Sometimes, you know, it could be fun. Sometimes, it's not real fun for them. Or, you know, it's just all starts from little misunderstanding. You know, it's just that some people, you know, come out and they're really nice and they really want to understand, you know, how these people communicate or how they do things. So when they just approach this, you know, someone and start talking, you know, just little at a time, and they just build up their confidence in each other, and then so, you know, they start inviting each other back and forth, and sometimes, you know, they come out with really nice visits. You know, they, by the time they're leaving, you know, they have really good friends in the village, and the village think a lot about them, and, you know, stuff like that. Like they go to potlatches with the people and they really, you know, get involved in what's going on in the village. And whereas, you know, some of them don't, just like, you know, they kind of hesitate to, you know, get involved in what's going on. But, you know, that's how they could get to know people and they could be treated really well, is that if they slowly get to know the people and just do what they're doing, they don't have to, you know, get really pussy about it or anything. Just kind of hang around, you know, see what's going on.
I'm going to ask you a question that people from outside have asked me. They'll say, this is my big trip to Alaska. This is the only time in my life I'll ever get to Alaska, and I want to go spend some time in a native village. What should I say to those people?
That's, you know, that's a really hard thing for them to do and for the village people, because the village people have so many people coming in. You know, sometimes they don't have the time to sit down and, you know, talk with somebody, because they have limited time, you know. It's like to cut fish, to go moose hunting, or to get their wood in the fall. And so, you know, they're always busy. So, you know, sometimes they get tired of people, you know, coming in. I know I heard that same question, you know, a lot of times, you know, people say, where do you think I should go? You know, this is my first time to Alaska and I'll never come back. And, you know, I want to visit the native village. And, you know, it's hard to tell people where to go, because if you send someone someplace and, you know, they make a total mess of their visit, you know, you'll get the blame for it. You know, they'll say, you know, why did, you know, you sent the person, you know, over when they just made a total mess. So, you know, the person, whoever comes, you know, should try, you know, I know they don't have that much time either, you know, to come and visit, because they're probably working or something, but, you know, they should try to get themselves familiarized, you know, with how people do things, and, you know, that they don't have time, and they might be fishing or something like that. And, you know, make them aware so that when they come in and no one's looking at them or, you know, talking with them, they wouldn't feel like, oh, maybe these people don't like to talk with me. You know, a lot of people get that feeling. I was really kind of appalled at the story my sister told me one time. She was in Anchorage Hospital, and she said this nurse, you know, told her, see, we've been to this... Oh, first she asked my sister, you know, where she was from, and then she said, are you from a native village? And she said, yes, it's, you know, all native people there. And she said, you know, once we went to a native village, she said, all native people. And she said, those people wouldn't even talk with us. They were so mean, you know, she said that. And I looked at my sister. I said, did you tell her that, you know, we deal with things different way, that they don't mean to be mean? I mean, that's not being mean. They probably thought, you know, the people are observing too much or something. Because first of all, they didn't say, you know, if they were coming, like this what you said, you know, they came into the village to visit, you know, not anyone in particular, but to come and see what the village was like. So they were walking around the village, you know, kind of looking at people and not saying much. And that kind of made the, you know, the people, native people, suspicious. So, you know, they, when they saw them coming, you know, they just closed the door, not, you know, really meaning to push them out or anything, but because they didn't say anything, they didn't know why the people were there. And so it all came out that this people from Anchorage thought, you know, that these people in the native village, people were really mean and didn't want to talk with him. That's the kind of thing I was talking about earlier when I said that, you know, they should say who they are. And they don't have to say, you know, I got a degree in this, I got a degree in that, and stuff like that. That's not what they care about. But, you know, this is, you know, who I am. You know, my name's this, I'm from there, and I do this kind of work, you know, that kind of thing. And just kind of, you know, answer questions if people talk, or you don't have to be boisterous or anything.
And what about cameras and recorders?
That's a really touchy, you know, thing. So if when they go into the village, you know, they should always ask if they'll take someone's picture, you know, or even picture of the house or their smokehouse. They should always go to the person that, you know, it's their property, and ask them, you know, could we take picture of this or, you know, of that? And they should always ask that. And if they'll have a tape recorder, they should always ask, because you never know how these pictures or the tape recorder are going to be used. Because we saw in magazines many, many times, you know, how pictures were used in a total different way than what the meaning of that picture was. Or the tape, you know, they said so-and-so said this, you know, and it might be that the person, you know, misunderstood the whole question. Like when we talk in the village, you know, we joke around, you know, we laugh and stuff like that. It doesn't mean, you know, anything to us if we're with close friends. But with, like, grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, we have to be careful of what we're saying or what we're joking about. Because, you know, in our tradition, there's things we shouldn't laugh at or joke about, you know, like our food. All the food we gather and stuff like that, you know, we shouldn't joke about them or throw them around or things like that. Because a long time ago, that was really hard to get. And, you know, there were starvation times and stuff like that. So they tell us, you know, if you throw your stuff around or, you know, joke around about it, you know, someday you might starve. And that was what they used to tell us. So you know, we have to be careful about, you know, what we joke about, you know, around certain people. But with friends, you know, we could laugh and talk and, you know, joke around about stuff. And, you know, taking pictures. And so if they used that tape and, you know, instead use it, you know, in some other way and said, you know, this is what they say or this is what, you know, they say about this, it might, you know, be a joke and they wouldn't even see it that way and they'll just record it as it came out of the tape. You know, sometimes things are, you know, done like that. And it's, you know, important to us, you know, that whatever is written about us, you know, comes out right. Because there's a lot of things, you know, that don't come out the way they should.
What about food? Suppose you're visiting and you're offered something for dinner that is very strange to you and you just can't eat. Should you try?
I had some people, you know, that come to my house that, you know, eat something they never ate before. And, you know, I explained to them, that's our part too, you know, to deal with something like that. And I think, you know, our people should know that it's all right if, you know, the person, you know, doesn't eat it. But, you know, even if they tried a little spoon and say, you know, I never had this before, so, it, you know, I might not eat it. You know, it might be a good thing to say before you start. Because I had some people, you know, who come to my house, you know, to eat and had, you know, something they never ate before. And I say, you know, this is what this is, you know. And if it's, you know, a real delicacy to us, you know, I explain it. And I say, you know, this is why they used to say this, you know. And this is how we used to eat it long time ago, when we didn't have freezers and, you know, there was no food in June. I said, you know, this is how we used to eat it. And, you know, you can just taste it or try it. If you can't eat it, you know, it's all right with me. You know, I understand that. And so a lot of people, you know, tried food in my house. And, you know, some found out, you know, they couldn't eat it. And some, you know, ate it and thought it was delicious. At least that's what they said. So, you know, it's always nice, you know, if you tell the person who's feeding you, you know, I never had this before, but, you know, I'll try to eat it, but if I can't, you know, maybe I should leave it. Talking about food, like when they go to potlatch in our tradition, they keep passing food around, and they put it all in the middle of the floor, and they keep passing it around. And if your plate is full and overflowing, in our tradition, we should never say, I wouldn't have any of that, or I have too much. You know, we should never say that because we were taught not to say stuff like that because of the thing I was talking about, starvation. You know, the grandpa and grandmas used to tell us, you know, don't turn away food. You know, you have to accept everything that's given to you. That's why when you go to potlatches and you see big paper boxes or something like that, people carrying out of the hall or wherever they have potlatches, you know, they have to accept everything. And when white folks come to our village and they have potlatches, sometimes, you know, they let the people just, you know, keep piling it in their plate and they don't say anything. You know, if they let the person who's packing, you know, passing the food around, you know, maybe I wouldn't eat this, you know, maybe I might not eat this, maybe other people could use it. You know, it would be nice, you know, if they put it that way instead of saying, you know, no thank you, no thank you, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, if they say, you know, I might not use it, maybe it will be better if, you know, the other person get it. You know, that would be a really nice way to put it if they go to potlatches. And potlatches and gatherings is really good place to get to know people. You don't have to say anything, you know, you could just sit there and listen. You know, that's the best way to find out how people think and how people do things, is just to come in and, you know, sit down and listen, see what they're talking about. And at the potlatch too, you know, you don't have to eat everything they give you. Just tell them, you know, this is all new to you. You know, you can't, you know, eat everything. Maybe the other people could use it. And just sit there and, you know, look around and listen, not to try to take things in your hand and say, you know, this is how you should do things, or this is what you should do, you know, or this is how you should cook this, or, you know, stuff like that. It's really complicated and it's really hard to, you know, for people to learn about each other. But once, you know, they get the hang of what's going on both sides, good things come out of it.
Velma Schaefer was raised in Ellicott and now lives in Fairbanks. I'm Deborah Niedermeyer. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.